All right. My mic on yet? So, good morning, everyone. I am Chris Larson. I'm a program manager on the information protection team at Microsoft. And I'm here to talk to you today about how we are tackling security and compliance challenges inside of Office 365. So, in the cloud, we see data growing at a continuously very fast rate. It doubles every 2 years. It's predicted that by 2020, there will be 44 zettabytes of information in the cloud. That's a lot of information, and we see that this is continually much harder for people to get a handle on, to gain control of, and to get the right transparency into. So not only is there much more data in the cloud than there ever was, it's getting attacked continuously. There are 230,000 new malware samples created every single day. And that adds up to an annual cost of cybercrime that's $100 billion. It's really, really expensive if you do get hacked. And not only do you have external threats, but there are internal threats as well. 59% of employees who leave the company either because they are fired or they just went someplace else will take proprietary information with them. Whether they mean to or not, this is a huge risk to your organization. So you can see that both compliance and security, they're very, very important to your organization from a regulatory and a financial standpoint. And it's not surprising that when surveyed, two of the top three cloud concerns were security and compliance. Something new that we're seeing, though, this year is that there's a lack of visibility and transparency into your data. And that is one of the top cloud concerns. In fact, it is the top cloud concern that you as customers reported in a survey. And you're really struggling to see what's going on with your data and to know how it's flowing through your organization. What's going on with it? Do the policies you have in place, are they doing the right thing? And so traditionally, we as Microsoft have given you really powerful security and compliance tools in order to meet your regulatory needs and to configure the right security inside your organization. The difficulty with that, though, has been we haven't given you the right transparency into what your data looks like, in order to know what tools you need to use or what those tools are doing so that you know that you have the right practices in place. And so some of you have used third-party tools in order to gain this transparency into your organization. And that's great. It gives you some of that visibility. It lets you know what's going on. The challenge with those third-party tools is that there is this rift, this divide between the tools that you're using and your data and the tools that you're using to gain the visibility. So you can't really use them together as efficiently as you can if they're all in one place. And we have made a lot of efforts to bring that transparency into Office 365 so that we are giving you the right visibility into how your tools are performing so that you can get this feedback loop and continually use them to improve the tools and improve the policies that you have in place. And how we are imagining this is with our security intelligence graph. So what is the security intelligence graph? What does this thing mean? We're using a few different dimensions that we can learn about your organization in order to create a picture of how your organization looks, how it's performing, in order to use all of the rich information and rich knowledge that we know to suggest the right policies, to suggest the right actions for you to take at the right time. So one of these things that we look at is your industry. Are you in the healthcare industry? Are you in the financial industry? Based on your industry, you'll have different regulations that you need to comply with. And we can know this and we can suggest this to you. Another is the size of your organization. If you are a very, very large company, you might have different needs and different requirements than someone who's a medium-sized organization. A third one is geography. We look at where in the country or where in the world you are so that we can suggest the right things or give you the right information. A company based out of Washington is much different than a company based out of Germany. We have different things that we care about, and we have different regulations that we need to comply with. So the first three there, those are kind of just metadata about your organization. What do you look like? Let's get a picture of you. These next three are things that are kind of inside the Microsoft ecosystem. So the first one is just the richness of the information that we have across Microsoft. We call that our ecosystem. And I'll give you an example of what this means in just a bit, because it's kind of a hard concept to grasp and how we're leveraging it to deliver the right insights to you. Next one is your role. How many of you are responsible for compliance in your organization? All right, I see a few. How many of you are responsible for security? All right, I see a few more, not necessarily the same people that I saw for compliance. So if you have a person that's responsible for compliance in your organization, they necessarily need to look at different things and respond to different things than someone who is responsible for security. And we want to deliver experiences to you that meet your needs, that speak directly to what you need to do on a daily basis, and let you do that efficiently and better than you have in the past. And the last one is your actions. What have you done inside Office 365? What policies have you put in place? What actions have you taken? Those can give us a better picture of what you're trying to do and might give us some more insight and more information into how we can help you do that. So let's look at an example of a persona. We're going to talk in this presentation about Rob. Rob is responsible for the compliance of a very large healthcare organization. So let's take a look at how these dimensions would look for Rob. The first is his industry is healthcare. He is in this very highly regulated vertical, and since we know that, we can speak to his needs. He's in a very large organization, so maybe we're going to play down the recommendations a little bit and let him customize his policies and feed him insights as he's customizing his policies. The third is that he's based out of Washington in the United States. And we can feed in information from where he's located to, say, some of the healthcare policies that he needs to set in place. Because we know his location, we know what the local laws look like there. And this third one is the ecosystem that I was talking about before. So this is how other organizations, like Rob's organization, are using Office 365 to meet their security and compliance needs. So one of the pieces of feedback that we hear from customers like you is, I'm in this silo, and I'm running at my peak efficiency on a daily basis. I know what I need to do to make my organization compliant, but I'm not quite sure what other organizations like me do. It would be useful knowledge to know what other people are doing, to know if there's something I could be doing better. And so using the rich information we have in Office 365, we're trying to start delivering you some of these insights about how do other people use security and compliance in Office 365. Rob is a compliance administrator. That's his role. We know that from the service, and we can deliver different insights, deliver different suggestions to him than we would to someone who has a different role. And the last one is some of his actions. Maybe he enabled extra storage, mailbox storage, for his users. And so because he took that action, we see in the service a deep linkage between using certain features and using certain other features. So let's say he enabled this mailbox storage Typically, people will then go and set up retention policies. So maybe we will suggest to him that he can set up a retention policy to get him more deeply involved with the service and get him a fuller coverage throughout his organization. So we've talked about the intelligent service that we're thinking about, this intelligence graph. And I want to spend a little bit of time on how we're using that graph to build intelligent solutions that you guys can leverage. So this first layer that we have here is these puzzle pieces. And the reason that they're puzzle pieces is because we truly think about them as tools that you can fit together in order to create the big picture for your organization. So we have policies, insights, alerts, actions, and classifications. And these are all tools that you have available to you in order to create your security and compliance solutions. These five tools funnel into three different methods of protection, methods of policies. The first one is built-in. And this is the protection that Office 365 has in its service just by default. So this is things like the server level controls that we have, our data center security, but it's also some of the customer controls that we have. So one of the things that we've done recently is we've tried to think about how policies can be used across the board. What's the lowest common denominator to the policy that is very frictionless, not controversial, that we are highly confident everyone can benefit from? And one of these that we've seen and we've heard is that credit card numbers, when they're being shared externally, that's pretty universally not a generally accepted thing. And if we're solely notifying customers, notifying end users, that it is okay to let them know and to educate them that this is not a good business practice, as long as we're not affecting their end user flow. So that's an example of a built-in policy, is a policy that notifies people that sharing credit card numbers externally is against their organization's compliance policies. The second one is recommended. And this is something that is brand new that we are trying to push to into the Office 365 service. And so this would use the security intelligence graph, and it would use some of the outputs of that and what we know about your organization to suggest specific policies just for you. Things that we think would be very useful to you, but we don't want to put in place just from the get-go, because you need to make the choice of if it's right for your organization or not. But we can take some of the heavy lifting of the configuration of the policies off your shoulders. We can do that for you in the background, and all you'll have to do is say, yes, this looks good for me, I want to use it, or not. And the third one is what we've had all along. It's our customized policies. It is the full richness, the full power of our security and compliance policies. And you can still configure them just however you want, what is necessary for your specific organization. And if you have the breadth of knowledge in order to configure these policies, you're still able to take control of them and really configure them as you need. And this top tier here is, where do these policies show up? Where would I see them? Where do I see security and compliance coming through in Office 365 for me? And there are three different ways. The first one is in the Office clients themselves. So let's take data loss prevention as an example again. And data loss prevention will show up in our Office clients. If you configure policy tips, you'll be able to see, your end users will be able to see them inside of the clients. As notifications to them, education for them. And let's also take a classification as an example. If you set up classifications and you allow your end users to use them, they'll show up in SharePoint, and they'll be able to use those classifications to really configure the policies for themselves. The second one is in the Security and Compliance Center itself. So in the Security and Compliance Center, this is your one-stop shop for coming in and configuring all your security and compliance needs, for figuring out what's going on, and for really taking a look into the system itself. And the third is in notifications. So we've seen this in alerts. We also see this in a digest, which is the ability for a user to get in their mailbox a picture of what's going on in their organization at a regular interval, so that they don't need to come into Security and Compliance Center all the time and check what's going on. They can figure it out. And the security intelligence graph really shows up in these bottom two layers here. All of the outputs of the security intelligence graph feed into these eight features. So let's take a look at the actual code here, or the demo, and the bits. So some of what I'm going to show you is live right now, but some of it is still being pushed out. All right. So I'm going to continue with that Rob persona that I had. Again, large healthcare company. I'm responsible for the compliance. And one day I come in and I look at my inbox and I see that there are quite a few alerts here that I can take a look at. And I want to take a look at this one here. And this alert is telling me that, hey, there's sensitive data in your organization that has been shared externally. And when this data was shared externally, I didn't configure a policy. Rob, I didn't configure a policy before this. We are just letting him know that, hey, this thing is happening in your organization. You might want to take a look at it. So as Rob, I'm pretty interested in this. I'm not quite sure that this is the right thing to be doing, that my end users are doing the correct thing. I want to make sure that there's no data loss here. And so I take a look at the data in here, and I see, okay, on the 19th, there are a few documents shared. Doesn't look too bad, it's not too many, but I still want to take a deeper look. So I click through into the Security and Compliance Center here, and I can see some more information. So I can see that, hey, there's been a few documents shared over the past week. It doesn't look like there's a ton of them. It looks okay. I'm glad that I'm getting this information and that Microsoft has this built-in protection for me. But I also know that in certain parts of my organization, it's normal business practice for them to share credit card numbers with, say, if they have a vendor that processes their financials. And so I'm going to get this information, but I'm not going to do anything further. If this looked bad and I wanted to stop it from happening, I have the option to either send myself an incident report so that I know exactly when this is happening, right when it happens, or to block access to the content so that my users could not share that document with credit card numbers externally. Sure. Yep. So the question was, is there any way to do a preventative block on the DLP rule? And so if you can see that second checkbox there, and it says block access to the content, but allow user to override. So Right. So the question is, is it just when the file is uploaded to SharePoint? So yes, the search has to crawl it before it recognizes that it has the content in there. We can't block them from uploading it to SharePoint first. Mm-hmm. All right, so back to Rob. He closes out this recommendation that he's gotten on the DLP policy, and he takes a look at the homepage in the Security and Compliance Center. If you remember back to when I was talking about how we can get a picture of what Rob looks like and we can try and deliver things that are important to him, we can see this coming through on the homepage here. So the homepage has some compliance-related widgets on here that really speak to what Rob needs to do on a daily basis. And we can see some of those pieces of the security intelligence graph coming through here. So this widget here that says other customers like you, this is giving Rob a picture of what other organizations in Office 365 are doing with their data. How many of them are deleting it? How many of them are preserving it? And we can see down here as well with this widget on retention policies, this gives Rob a picture of how many people are using retention policies across Office 365 and what are they using them for. So that when there's a trend to do a specific thing with retention policies or any other policy that we have, you can know what other people are doing so that you can tailor the policies to really meet your needs and have that information available to you. So Rob takes a further look at the homepage here and he says, okay, this all looks pretty good, it all looks pretty interesting, but wow, this protect and retain HIPAA information, that is very important to me. I am a healthcare organization and HIPAA records are like very, very important. I need to make sure that I'm protecting them. So Rob's going to open up this recommendation here, and he can see that there's some information about, hey, what will this do? And it's suggesting to him not only to retain the content, but to put a data loss prevention policy on the content so that he can keep it around for as long as he needs to and also stop it from being shared externally. So we can see here, it says retain the content for 6 years so it's not accidentally deleted. And that is part of the security intelligence graph coming through again. Rob is in Washington, and in Washington, HIPAA content needs to be kept around for 6 years. That's the specific length of time in Washington. And so he's able to have a policy that's configured specifically to his needs, and all he would need to do is click Create here. But because Rob is in a very large organization, he wants to customize this policy. He wants to truly make it his own. And he's able to do that right from that recommendation. So he can come in here to set up a retention policy. And we've also tried to make it easier to create this retention policy by revamping the UI so that it is much easier to run through the flow and much easier to put the specific controls that you need in place. So he wants to choose some specific locations. And let's say he wants SharePoint and Exchange as part of this policy, but not OneDrive accounts, not Office 365 groups, none of this other stuff. He can just remove those workloads just by turning off those workloads in the UI here. And so he wants to use advanced retention to pick specific sensitive data types that he wants to have in his retention policy. And so I can see here that I have many different sensitive information types that I can choose from. And I want to add UK health service numbers because that's something that I deal with quite a bit. I add this data type, and I want to preserve the content. Let's say 6 years sounds good to me, and so I want to preserve it for 6 years. Yes. Okay, so I'm not sure if you guys all heard that, but she asked if we're able to add our own sensitivity types, and the answer was yes, you are. So we created this policy here, this retention policy, and it's already implementing. So let's say I was still Rob, but I wasn't a general compliance admin. I was more specifically a records manager. I had this more specialized role. We're also trying to speak to these specialized roles so that they have a single place that they can get to and a single place where they can manage all of their needs. So this dashboard inside the data governance area is very tailored to data governance, very tailored to retention and import and what you need to do in order to control your data and control the data lifecycle. So Rob takes a look at this dashboard in data governance, and he thinks this retention coverage widget is pretty interesting. He'd like to take a look at this every time he comes into the Security and Compliance Center. So I can go and I can pin this widget up to the homepage. And I can start to see that I can customize it so that I have the things I truly care about on here. So that retention coverage widget shows up at the bottom of the homepage now. And if I think that other pieces aren't as important to me, like this what's new, I can hide this widget so that I don't have to see it. I can hide search for users, and I can really truly add the things that I care about to this homepage and make it my own. So that was Rob's flow, and let's take a look at how he's used our puzzle pieces to set up compliance in his organization. So he went through kind of a customized flow. He was still getting some of the insights and some of the intelligence fed through into his organization. So we still start off with the security intelligence graph. And he had this built-in policy that was available to him that started giving him some of these insights. And the built-in policy triggered a recommendation for him to further his protection, further his compliance in his organization. But instead of taking that recommended policy and setting up the recommended policy, he set up his own customized policy. And so from this point, he has customized protection, customized compliance in his organization. And with this customized compliance, he gets a few different benefits from it. He gets continued insights into what the retention policy and DLP policy he set up are doing. He may get alerts based off of those policies. He can get suggested actions to further his protection based off of some of the insights we're seeing about how those policies are doing. And then he can set up classifications in order to define specific types of information in his organization. So I talked about these actions that we suggest, being able to feed into the policies and really tailor and tweak the policies so that they are specific to your organization, specific to your needs. And you can see we have this flow from the security intelligence graph feeding into those suggested actions, and those suggested actions feeding into the policies, and really tailoring them from there. We also have this feedback loop that happens between those insights that we see and the policies that are in place and the security intelligence graph. So we get smarter as you put these policies in place and as we see what actions you're taking inside the Security and Compliance Center. So let's talk a little bit about what would happen if this wasn't Rob. It wasn't a very large organization, but instead this was Alex. And Alex is responsible for the compliance at a small doctor's office. This doctor's office is still in a highly regulated industry, still needs to comply with HIPAA, but doesn't have as much money, as much cash flow as a very large healthcare organization. And so it doesn't have the cash flow to hire a specific person to be responsible for this. And so Alex is kind of tasked with this, but it's not his main day-to-day job. And so he can still use all the power that we have from these policies and can still configure really powerful policies in his organization. So if I was Alex, I would still get these same recommendations. I would still get this HIPAA recommendation here to me because I am in the healthcare industry. And when I go in here, I don't have all the information about how to configure a retention policy, what exactly I need to put in place. So when I see this, it all looks like it's done for me already, and I don't really need to do anything else. If I put this in place, it's going to protect all my medical records. That sounds pretty good to me. So as Alex, I would just click Create here, and it'll set up the policy for me. No further action needed on my part, but I can still get all the benefit from that policy. So like we saw with Alex, he had that recommended policy. It was really quick, really simple for him to set that up for himself. The security intelligence graph is still feeding into what he has and what he needs. He still had those built-in policies. And he used the recommendations from us and our recommended policies to create his own policy and get the insights from that. And from the policies and from the insights, he's going to get alerts. And the insights and the policies are also going to feed back into the security intelligence graph and give him further recommendations so he can further his protection in Office 365. All right. And I have one last demo for you. And this demo is about Ellie. And Ellie is not responsible for any compliance. She is responsible for the security of her organization. Same organization as Rob, still a large healthcare organization, but she's really tasked with the day-to-day security. And so if we switch to demo machine again, Ellie comes in one day into her inbox, and she sees that a high severity alert has been triggered. There's an unusual volume of external file sharing. This looks kind of bad. She doesn't know what's going on yet, but she definitely wants to investigate. So she can see a little bit of information in this email here that it was this particular user who is doing this. And she clicks in to investigate, find some more information, and figure out what was going on. Let it load here for just a minute. All right, let's try clicking on that investigate again. All right, there. So you can see she sees this alert details here. And she can see that it was a high severity alert. She can see a little bit more information. But she's also got options to really investigate further here and investigate what happened. So she goes in to view the activity list. And she can see that, wow, Gopi has been sharing a lot of content. This has all happened in the past few minutes. So let's see what he's been doing. I can click in and I can see some more information about Gopi here. And I can see that his last login was from Jill in China, which is very strange to me because I know he's supposed to be here at Ignite, so he shouldn't be logging in from China. That's really weird. I think he's been hacked. And now I have the information to know that probably has been. And I can take quick remediation actions here. And I can go and block him, or I can reset his password. And so then I've kind of stopped the bleeding from that point, and I want to go in and investigate further about what kind of documents has he been sharing. So I can take a look at this document here, and I can see that it contains sensitive information, it contains credit card numbers, and so that's why I'm getting this alert. If he was just, you know, sharing some of his documents with some of his coworkers or someone that he's working with as a vendor, this alert wouldn't trigger. It's because it has sensitive information in it that we're giving Ellie this information on. Hey, something looks bad in your organization. You need to go handle it, and you should probably take a look. So now that Ellie has the information that Gopi has probably been hacked, she wants to find out why. And so because she knows Gopi has been the one that's hacked, she can go in and use our Threat Explorer to find out how. And so in here, I can see the threats that I'm subject to as an organization over the past few days. But I can also search for specific users and see what threats they have been subject to. So if I search for Gopi, I can see that he has been subject to this SwabFex attack. I don't really know what this is. but I have the ability to go in and take a look at it. And here I can see that it is usually a JavaScript-based malware family, and it downloads these executables. I know a little bit more about what this attack is, what it looks like, and what it's doing. And so from here, I can take a look at the recipients of this email and this attack, so I know who to follow up with and who to investigate. And then I can see the full technical details. And from these technical details, from this report, I can see what the email typically looks like, and I can get some more information on it. And that gives me enough information to perhaps do a search and destroy in my organization. And coming back into the Security and Compliance Center, I can also see whether this attack was targeted specifically at me or if it was a worldwide attack. So from this point, I've stopped the bleeding, I've been able to reset the user's password, and I have also figured out what this attack is, what it looks like, and what kind of risk it may introduce to my organization. And so after I've done this spiderweb-like investigation as Ellie, and I've kind of handled things, I might want to prevent this from happening in the future. And so I can use the information that I've seen here about what the attack looked like when it first started from that alert to perhaps set up some proactive preventative policies in the future and create a data loss prevention policy that completely blocks users from sharing credit card numbers externally. So that's how Ellie is using some of the intelligence in Office 365 to respond to attacks and make sure that her organization is as secure as possible. So in this flow, we saw that she got an alert. And from that alert, she had some insights into what might be happening. She could see that Gopi was the one who got attacked. She could see what he was attacked with, what was the malware, what it was doing. And then she took action. She could respond and follow up with the other users that may have been subject to it. She could block the user's password. And then finally, she could configure a policy at the end to further protect her organization and stop this from happening in the future. And so the security intelligence graph really fed into these first two to give her that insight and to let her know when things were going on. But she still used her knowledge and her expertise to take care of the actions and the policies. But the intelligence that we had made it simpler, made it easier, made it faster. So we're really looking to deliver protection for everyone, everywhere. I hope that you could see that Alex could get some of the same powerful protection that Rob could without having some of the same knowledge, because we're trying to deliver the insight about things that have really been difficult to find, difficult to see before, into Office 365 as a service. So all of these protections are unified. They're available in the workloads in Office 365, and we are trying to make them available across all of these workloads. And the security intelligence graph that I showed is integrated not only with the data that you let us be the custodians with, but also with the tools that you use in Office 365. So it's really present throughout the service and present throughout all of the actions that Alex, Rob, and Ellie were taking. And it shows up as intelligence in this default protection, in the policies that you put in place, in the alerts, and in the insights. So that's all I have for today. I hope you see how we're trying to shine a light on some of the things that were really difficult to see or impossible to see in the past and make it easier for you to configure security and compliance in your organization. We have a whole bunch of different sessions that I would encourage you to go to. We have a information governance session this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And if you're more interested in compliance, I would encourage you to go there. We have a few security sessions that are going on today and tomorrow as well. So I'll leave this up for a few moments because I see pictures, people taking pictures. And I will open it up to some more questions if you have them. All right, so this guy in the blue in the back. You, yeah.
So of all the governance features and everything you showed, are they, I guess, regulated by the Office 365 plans you have? So do I have to have Compliance Center license across every user for those DLP policies to take effect?
Yeah, so the question was, do you have to have a license across all the users in order for these policies to take into effect? And it really depends on the policy. Some of them will go across your organization if you have the SKU, but some of them you need to have them on the actual user licenses in order for them to take effect. Yeah, in the back. You. Yeah, so the question was, she had someone she wants to give just view access into the Security and Compliance Center. And there are pieces that you can give view access to with our more granular role permissions. Like you can give people view-only access to reports. And you can configure your specific role groups in order to meet that need. So you can do it inside of the Security and Compliance Center. There's a permissions tab where we have different role groups. And there's some of these built-in roles like security admin, compliance admin, global admin that will link with AAD. But you can also come in and you can create your own custom role group and give them specific permissions to the things that you want them to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a few encryption sessions that we cover. I'm not sure if we're covering exactly those pieces. Let's see, I'm trying to find which one the encryption one is on here. I can follow up with you and find you the right session to go to if you come up here afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So a lot of this stuff that we showed, we are targeting to roll out by the end of the year. Yeah.
So this session, the one listed, and I don't see Ignite when you talk about the, I don't see anything specific to the hybrid environment for the enterprise customer. So if I have already on-prem invested in the DLP and all that, and I set up a hybrid environment, how are these things going to work?
Yeah.
Where do I lose the control?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have any sessions that specifically cover hybrid environments, but if you do go to some of these breakouts, the presenters there should be able to cover how they work in hybrid environments if you ask the question. Any other questions? Yeah. So your question is, based off of the specific content type, you want to set up different protection for SharePoint or another protection for Exchange. That is definitely possible with the policies that we have. You can configure one to be on a specific workload, a specific content type, or even a specific sensitive type, a specific classification, and then configure other policies to do other things to different content types. Yeah, so what you would do is you'd configure the policies in the Security and Compliance Center, and then they would be enforced in the workload. So let's give an example. If you set up a data loss prevention policy, if you set one specific one up for your email and one specific one for your SharePoint, you would see those different policy tips or the different enforcements appear in Exchange and in SharePoint. Okay. So the encryption session you were looking for is Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right, well, thank you very much.